The great thing about federal contracting is that the rulemakers never rest. Just when you're sure you've got it all figured out, boom, things change. Well, the latest rules are out from the Labor Department. They concern affirmative action programs required of federal contractors. To explain, in our weekly Legal Loop segment, we turn to procurement attorney Joe Petrillo of Petrillo & Powell. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and Emily.
All right, so summarize what just came out from the Labor Department for us. What are they asking for?
Well, we've got two sets of regulations. One dealing with affirmative action for workers with disabilities, and the other dealing with affirmative action for certain veterans, not all veterans, but a subset of veterans. Both of the regulations came out toward the end of 2013, but they've kicked in and become effective as of March 24th for most purposes. So they're just recently effective, and they're going to apply to what contractors have to do to achieve affirmative action for both of those groups.
Now, this doesn't apply to all contracts, right?
Well, pretty much all contracts. I mean, the
including current existing ones.
Well, let me back up. The existing ones have a clause in it that requires affirmative action, and the new contract's going to have a somewhat revised clause. The changes that take place in the clause are going to apply prospectively when you get those contracts. So that's where it happens, and it's going to apply at a very low level. In the disability area, it's for contracts and subcontracts of $10,000 or more. In the area of veterans affirmative action, it's $100,000 or more. Now, it's possible to get an exemption, but those are very rarely granted in practice.
All right, so one of the provisions here, and this has been talked about, I think, for some time, is the 7% workforce utilization goal for individuals with disabilities. They call that a goal. Does that mean that there's a penalty if you don't meet it, or they just want to make sure you're trying to meet it? What does a goal mean versus a requirement?
Well, it's kind of obscure in terms of what exactly is meant. It's a goal for how what you achieve in terms of the proportion of your actual workforce versus the proportion in terms of whether or not you've got disability peoples with whether you have individuals with disabilities who represent 7% of your workforce. So it is basically something you shoot for in terms of the utilization of disabilities throughout your workforce, your total workforce.
Because the implication is then you have to have programs and policies and procedures in place, and that you can demonstrate to the Labor Department that you're trying to get those people. So it's not so much you have anything against people with disabilities, but it's the apparatus you have to have to make sure that you can show that you're trying to get to 7%.
Well, absolutely. And as we'll see when we talk about the special special veterans, the purpose of these goals or benchmarks is to indicate at what point you need to increase your affirmative action. And there we need to, you need to increase them when you're not achieving the utilization goal. But since this is a fairly new thing, it's one that I think contractors will be able to ramp up to achieve.
And how do you expect them to put this into practice? What sort of things are they going to do?
Well, one of the interesting things that happens in this new regulation is, at least for individuals with disability, the regulations require that they, or not require, permit the contractor to ask them to voluntarily self-identify as a person with disabilities. And that's a change, because until now it wasn't, there was some question about whether you could even ask a person who was a job applicant whether or not they were disabled. In this instance, they're allowing the contractor, the employer, to ask that of individuals in the hiring process, presumably so you can give those folks a more careful look in the process.
So that's interesting. So something that perhaps hiring managers were reluctant to say because they didn't want this perception of discrimination, now you're saying the Labor Department is basically encouraging them to ask.
That's basically right, yeah. And I suppose that's going to make it easier for contractors to target those people for affirmative action if they know who they are during the employment process.
I don't know what could possibly go wrong. It just sounds like a very difficult thing because, for example, you cannot, and I guess you should not be able to, for example, ask a female applicant, you know, are you pregnant? I mean, that's not allowed. And so now you can't say, well, what's your disability? But what, do you have a blue chair? Sit here if you're disabled and sit here if you're not. I mean, I wonder how people are going to actually implement this in a way that is fair to people.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, there is a provision in the regulations that says that the self-identification is part of the application process, but it's not part of the actual application. So I guess they want to have the information, but not on the actual application form. How it's going to work in practice, we'll have to see. But I suspect people, as they go forward with this, will find ways of doing it, and those ways will spread, and people will adopt best practices in their hiring and HR policies.
We're speaking with Joe Petrillo. He is a procurement attorney at Petrillo and Powell. Now, from my memory, there was a construction industry group that challenged this rule in court, and the district court basically said this was within the Labor Department's purview to be able to do this.
That's exactly right. The issue was whether or not the Americans with Disabilities Act enables the Labor Department to establish a utilization goal as part of their regulatory process. And the Association of Builders and Contractors has started a suit in which they challenged the ability of labor to do that. They've lost in the district court, but it's expected that that case will be appealed on up and at least to the Court of Appeals.
And what about other contractors? Do you expect more lawsuits or at least disgruntlement?
Well, I think everyone's sort of waiting to see what happens with the Association of Builders and Contractors. And, Department of Labor did walk back some of what they had proposed in the initial proposed rulemaking. For instance, they had a 2% sub-goal for the severely disabled, and they got rid of that in the final regulation. And there were other issues that in the initially proposed regulations that were onerous that were removed. But as of now, the regulation has gone into effect. There's no injunction or court action blocking it.
I guess a question upstream is, as a contracting officer, for example, how would you know the compliance of a contractor with these veterans and people with disabilities rules?
Well, that's the job of the Office of Federal Contract Compliance, and they come out and audit the contractors, They also, make determinations and when necessary, provide enforcement action. Apparently, there's been an increase in these audits and enforcements, and there's more money going to this particular group in labor so that they can do more oversight. But there's the other half of this, which we should probably talk about a little bit, deals with the rules for veterans. Now, you have a utilization goal for disabilities. In veterans, there's a benchmark that will be set. It was customarily set at 8%, but that's not being required in the regulations. And the regulations say this is neither a goal nor an objective, but if you look at how it works, it sure looks like both of those things. This is an 8% rule that is applied to how many of these special veterans are in various categories of your workforce, and in every category of your workforce, in most cases. And that's the test. And if it's not achieved, it's clear that the contractor is supposed to increase its effort, its affirmative action to try to achieve that.
And not to, to put too deep a weed on this, but if you have a veteran who is disabled and you hire that person, does that count for both goals?
Absolutely. And that's something that the Labor Department recognizes, that there's some some interplay between these two, and that some of the folks who are being employed will count in both categories.
Joe Petrillo is a procurement lawyer. He has his own law firm, Petrillo and Powell. Joe, thanks as always for joining us.
Thank you.